Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. I'm going to pray and put 10 minutes on the clock, and we are going to get started. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit at work in our life, and we ask you for help, God. We ask you for help in all that we do, that you would lead us and you would grow us and help us, God. Help us to trust you and see what you would do in our life as we yield to you. Let your grace be strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let me turn this phone on silent so we don't get interrupted by some stuff. So Mark chapter 10, we're going to be talking about the scripture that's really popular. Everyone talks about, you know, with God, all things are possible. And it's one of those refrigerator verses, but it gets taken out of context a lot. Now, it's true, with God or in God and by God and through God, anything he's promised is possible. He can bring it to pass. He who began a good work in you will complete it. All things are possible. But in context, I think it's really interesting to look at what he was saying when he said that. Because sometimes we take a scripture and pull it, kind of stretch it out of its context. And that can be dangerous. You know, there are sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, has taken words and taken things that, you know, and can apply the word and promises of his word and can apply them to you and can speak to you, and that can be right. You see Jesus doing that where he'll quote an Old Testament scripture, and the way he's quoting it almost looks like it's out of context, but it's not. He's because he's speaking it, he's releasing life and stuff. But we got to be careful how sometimes we make these refrigerator verses and we take them out of context and just apply them to anything and everything, and we overlay our own selfish perspective on it. So look in Mark chapter 10. Again, the same thing is in Matthew chapter 19, if you want to read it later. But Mark chapter 10, I want to start in verse 17. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. And I didn't start my clock. So boom, here we go. So now as he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do?" Notice this, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." So there's a lot he's speaking to him right there about good. Who's good? Who's not good? You know, because since the fall of man, we've been left without Christ to walk between the knowledge of good and evil, which there's nothing good about it. What we say is good is not good in God's terminology, because good is self-righteousness, and evil, you know, when you talk about the knowledge of good and evil, the good is self-righteousness at best. The evil is just unrighteousness. Neither one is God's righteousness. God's the only one who's truly good by the accurate standard of good. And so when this man comes to him, this is the rich young ruler who we've talked about in the Bible. And he comes, he runs, he kneels before him, and he says, "Good teacher." So he's laying it on thick, man. He's laying it on thick, just, you know, and Jesus said, "Look, there ain't no one good. No one's good but one, which is God." And verse 19, he says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud," which is talking about loving your neighbor there. "Honor your father and your mother." See, to confront this man's, Jesus recognizing his agenda and to confront him in trying to talk about, he's basically coming with this hidden agenda that you kind of see between the lines about trying to say, "Am I good enough to inherit eternal life?" So he comes running, he kneels, and he comes before him. He's like, "Good teacher, What must I do to inherit eternal life? So he's talking about this goodness. And Jesus uses the law, the Ten Commandments, which are all about relationship. It's not about rules, but it is also used to show us that we are not good. The law of God is to show us that God is good, but we are not good. And if we want to become like God, there's no way for us to get there without him. That he is good and we cannot become good by ourselves. So why do you call me good? No one is good but God. You know the commandments. He goes through all the commandments. But notice, and you know, he shares the bottom half of the commandments. He doesn't share the top ones, you know, that you are the God who delivered me, you know, from Egypt. I'll have no other gods before you. I'll not take your name in vain. I'll honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then the fifth one is he shared the fifth one, which is honor your father and mother. And then he shares these others. You know, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. But there's one he left out. This is interesting. There's one. Do you know which one he left out? Do you know which one he left out? But it's really cool. So verse 20. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, of all these I have kept from my youth. See what he's trying to say. See, I'm good. Yeah, man, I know the commandments. Yeah, I know. I'm good. You're good. I'm good. See, it's all good. It's what he's trying to say. It's all good. And then Jesus, looking at him, man, he sees. Jesus, look, he stops and he looks at him, looking at him. And then watch this, and loved him. See, this what I'm about to say just goes right in the face of everyone in the world who's trying to redefine love. Love confronts. Love corrects. It doesn't do it with love does not condemn, but love does confront. Love does correct. And you can use the law of God in a spirit of, you can use, Jesus is using the law, the Ten Commandments, he's using the law to love somebody and show them that they're not good in order to move them into a place of faith so they can become good by faith in Christ, because he's the only one that's good. So Jesus left out one of them. And he said, he loved him, looked at him, loved him. And then he said to him, one thing you lack. See, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. And here's why. Because he loves me enough to point out what I'm lacking. He loves me. And if I'm going to walk in relationship with him, he loves me enough to stop me, make me sit down in the green pastures, by the still waters. He loves me enough to confront me and use the truth of the word of God and the law of God to confront me and show me what I'm lacking. So there's one thing you lack. And he said, go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Truth is, the great possessions had him. Verse 23, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches, and really for riches to have them, to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But when Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches? So there you see it, trust in riches. He's talking about covetousness. He's talking about the one commandment that he didn't say earlier, which is covetousness. So Jesus is not sitting here saying it's bad to be rich and we don't need to be rich. He's not condemning richness, saying all people who are rich are not going to make it to heaven and it's a bad thing. He's not saying that at all. He's speaking to this individual specifically and uniquely, to this individual who he used the law. Jesus used the law to point out the lack within this individual, and he did it all speaking the truth in love. This is the perfect example of speaking the truth in love, saying this is what you're lacking. And he said, so here's what you need to do. Go do this, and that will free you from covetousness. Go give away, go sell what you have and give it away. See, he's inviting into a kingdom principle, which I don't have time to get into, which is actually going to bring about blessing in his life. But the problem is he trusts in things. So he doesn't give. This guy didn't give to give. He would give to get. But prosperity is always for the purpose of generosity. Prosperity is not for the purpose of possession, Prosperity is for the purpose of generosity. God wants you to enjoy things. He wants you to enjoy all that stuff. But prosperity is for the purpose of generosity. It's one thing to have money. It's a whole other thing when money has you. And so he was covetous. He had a covetous heart. And he was greedy. And he couldn't let it go. And so Jesus was trying to free him from that, because obedience to the word of God will free you from the thing that you were bound in. And he could have been free, but he chose not to, because he trusted in riches, according to verse 24. And then verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is, people misconfuse this and stuff. The eye of a needle was a smaller gate next to a city. You had the big, large gate, and a smaller gate was called the eye of the needle by tradition is what this was called. And so like people who were just walking, you could walk through the smaller gate because you didn't carry a lot of stuff. You didn't have camels. You didn't have all this kind of stuff that you had to carry with you. If you had a caravan and camels and possessions, you'd have to go into the big gate. So he's talking about going into the smaller gate. But if you got too many possessions, you know, you can't go through the gate. And so narrow is the way and small is the way. We got to make sure possessions do not have us. We're stewards of the possessions. We're not owners of them. We're stewards of them. They're all his. And we got to be willing to trust in him, not trust in riches. And verse 26, when they were greatly astonished and said among themselves, who then can be saved? Because that means there must have been some rich people around him. That must have been a community where, because he's saying, listen, if you trust in riches, who can be saved? I mean, if you trust in riches, it's hard to be saved, kind of. And so he ends up saying, the disciples say, well, then who can be saved? Everybody's trusting in riches. It's kind of what they're getting at. And then Jesus made the statement, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And man, that statement, we make it apply to all these different things, which sometimes it fits and sometimes it doesn't. But here's what this scripture means. With God, all things are possible. That when I trust God, he can help me obey his commandments. And when I obey his commandments, I'm walking in truth. And when I know and walk in and obey the truth in covetousness, adultery, murder, any of the commandments that God tells me, don't do this, do this. I'm empowering you to walk in relationship with me so that you can do this and be this and have this. And it doesn't have to have you. So with God, it's possible. With money, it's impossible. With just you trying to be good in your own, it's impossible. But God makes obedience possible. He makes it possible in your life. All things that God has commanded you, all things that God is inviting you into, all things that God is bringing you into, all things that God has promised you to walk in is possible. Obedience is possible. It's possible for you to do the thing that Jesus is asking you to do, commanding you to do, that you feel like you cannot do because the thing has a grip in your life. Maybe it's murder. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's covetousness. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but whatever. Maybe it's not honoring your father and mother, but you can do all of those things because God makes it possible through his power and his presence within your life. So obey God. Do what you feel like is impossible as God gives you strength and you walk in freedom. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for those who are watching. You empower us to do what is impossible without you. So help us. We thank you for the grace that empowers us to obedience and the obedience to truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. See you Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.